Hello. How y'all doing? All right. It's a beautiful day today. I applaud you all for coming out because this is an amazing time. This is truly an amazing time, and I get so jealous whenever I get to hang out with high school and college students because you all have accomplished so much more at this point than either Steve or I did when we were your kids. It makes me incredibly jealous, but hopeful, because I know there's a whole generation of kids and people who are being awesome without their permission. I want to talk about a bunch of things, so I'm going to move briskly through this. We'll do a little Q&A afterwards, too. I'm usually known after that gracious introduction as the guy who creates startups with cute mascots that I draw. I don't know why, I just like it. It's very fun. Red Alien, that happened because I was bored in marketing class as a senior at University of Virginia. I was doodling in the margins, went home, drew this thing. It has since been tattooed on people's bodies all over the world, which is crazy, but awesome. And I don't know why, I just like your mascots, I really do. And I'm not the first to get mascots, right? There are plenty of institutions that have mascots here at Murray State. It's at Murray State, and I love mascot costumes. And you can't quite get the contrast there, but obviously there's amazing horse there, because you see the advantage to having a mascot costume. For all you young entrepreneurs, I'm just throwing this out there. You don't have to have a mascot. You notice every company I've started has one, but you don't have to. But if you do, you can do anything wearing that costume. So this is the Hip-Hop Chipmunk in Times Square. All right, now you can't quite make this out. This is a sword swallower who is getting arrested by the NYPD because you see, if you're a dude swallowing swords, NYPD is going to be like, let's see a permit. But if you're a dude in a chipmunk costume, you're like, keep dancing. You're great, chipmunk, keep it up. So I'm just saying, if you get your hands on a mascot costume, have some fun. All right? Now this isn't about mascots, it's not. It's about the world, wow, it is amazing, it's large. One thing, though, it is not, is flat. I don't care what Tom Friedman says, he has a very compelling mustache. It's not making it true. The world is not flat, Tom, silly goose. It's not true. But the World Wide Web is. As long as all bits are created equal, you're probably hearing a lot about the FCC net neutrality these days. One of the things that makes the internet so great, it is the freest marketplace in the world. Any link is just as accessible as any other. So a couple of UVA grads who don't have any connections other than an internet connection and two laptops can start something in a little apartment. 9 years later, it'll have more traffic than the New York Times or CNN. That's what we did with Reddit, right? It was because someone could get to our website just as easily as the New York Times, load our pages just as quickly as CNN, that we were able to win because we could make something the market wanted more. That's why this is such an important issue, because it means I can look every one of you in the eyes if we have net neutrality and say, yeah, if you can build a better YouTube, if you can build a better Reddit, if you can build a better whatever, you can win. On the merit of it, not because some incumbent has made a deal with one of, what, four cable companies to make sure that their pages look faster. That's kind of ridiculous. But look, it's the largest library and stage the world has ever seen. And what's crazy, okay, I was in school 9 years ago when I graduated. All right? When I graduated from UVA, YouTube did not even exist. Okay? That was not even a thing. None of this stuff existed. And today you can watch a Khan Academy lecture to help you with your algebra homework. You can find a tutorial about knitting. I don't know if you're into knitting. You can find world-class tutorials there for free from knitting scholars. You want to make some great waffles. I really like waffles. You can find recipes. Like the world hasn't ever seen something like this. And now, just in the last 10 years, we've seen it emerge. And it's amazing. And I want it to exist because it means power. There's a power glove in there, which is a reference, unfortunately, I don't think a lot of you will understand. The NES power glove. It was a terrible way to play video games, but it was so cool. Just gotta trust me on this, okay? It means this is a powerful time. It's for us, this is great power. I got to experience this at a very early age. Oh yeah. This was me, freshman in high school. I got an internet connection. Felt like a god among men. because I could be at home. It's a 33-6 dial-up. My parents didn't understand a ton about technology. They didn't have a ton of money to be spending on a PC, but they got me one. They got me a 486SX. Okay, they put it in my room, and they said, you know what, it's yours. Just don't you dare break it. You can put it, take it apart, make sure you put it back together. And they gave me the freedom to just tinker and build, and I spent so much time on this. I would go online every day, and I thought, man, my schoolwork is so stupid. My classwork is so lame. Like, I'm just doing this random assignment for a random teacher. But I can go online, and I can build things. I can make a website. My first, never forget your first. Mine was GeoCities. Oh, yeah. SiliconValley/Hills/4924. So you may have no idea what GeoCities is, and that breaks my heart. But here's the thing. This was the place where I created my first website. And there I was, this dork in high school, so happy to come home and be able to create something that anyone in the world could see. Millions of people, tens of people, saw that website. Right, I mean, realistically, and I didn't learn until later that the counter on the bottom was just going up because I kept hitting reload. But the point was, I built something anyone could see. My first website was a Quake 2 fan page. All right, it had like flaming skull animated GIFs and like rocket launchers and really, it was the lamest website ever. But it was so cool. I had the link tags. Oh, so happy those are gone. But it was my first foray into web development. I thought, this is amazing. And I found tutorials online from people who were much better than me sharing how they did the things they did. I got addicted. Because it wasn't long thereafter, by the time I was a sophomore, I was emailing nonprofits on message boards. I would just go on these message boards and say, hey, you need a website. Let me build it for you. They didn't know I was a kid in my parents' house in my bedroom. They just knew I was someone who had a skill they didn't have, and that was valuable. And so I didn't do it for money, I did it for pride, because it felt so cool, because the work I was doing for class seemed so irrelevant, but I was doing stuff for adults. I could be building websites. They valued me. They thought this thing I could do was like magic. And so I've never been able to shake it. It's something I continue to be obsessed with. And so the era of doing is right now, because the resources, and I saw this from a number of the folks who I got to meet presenting here today, the resources are available. You've got 3D printers in your classrooms. You've got access to software that lets you build things right now and put them on an app store that millions of people around the world can use. Like, this generation, our greatest advantage can be summed up by Bain. Okay? So for so many of the incumbents, there are so many industries now that are being affected, right? Software is eating the world. And Mark Andreessen said that quote, and I love it because it's true. And for so many of the incumbents, that I've consulted for and worked with a number of them, you see, they merely had, they do that better. I mean, you don't want to hear the Bain voice.
Yes.
All right, well, peer pressure. All right. Well, don't clap yet. You don't know how bad it is. All right.
They merely adopted the internet. We were born in it, molded by it.
So, that is. Thank you very much. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Because look, I know this is changing the world right now. And we all have a kind of fluency, a kind of understanding. Those of us who are lucky enough to grow up with this technology have a fluency and an understanding that is not to be trivialized. Okay, and I can keep making jokes about this because it's easy, so I will. You guys have all been there, haven't you? You know what I'm talking about. There is a kind of fundamental understanding that we have with technology because many of us have had the good fortune of having these devices be a part of our lives for a very long time. And look, well-intentioned grandma wants to be on Netflix, and I can't blame her, right? Netflix is amazing. Oh my goodness. But what channel is it, right? It's that disconnect. And so we have this asset, take full advantage of it. And part of this is about not just knowing and being fluent in this technology, but actually being capable of creating it. So the new fluency in this century is learning to code. And so what I'm going to ask you is, how many of you right now are learning to code? Just by show of hands. Don't be proud. Yes, okay. Seriously? This is the skill of the century. If this is the new frontier, if the internet is the new frontier, we're all exploring it together. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what people are going to create. But what I know is we're all like Lewis and Clark. Okay, I'll be your second Julia. All right? On this new exploration. The fact of the matter is, you can be exploring it, which is going to be mandatory, or you can be building it under our feet. That's what learning to code lets you do. You're not just using the platforms, you're actually creating them. This is tremendous power. It's like step right wizardry. And here's what's so cool. All the resources that Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Hoffman, my co-founder, and that every single one of those people use to get to where they are, to learn to code, is freely available online. They did it using forums. They did it using tutorials. Google is a great place to start. Places like Stack Overflow didn't even exist when many of us were learning to code. There are videos on Khan Academy. There are so many resources available at your fingertips. And it's not easy. But if you have any interest whatsoever in technology, this skill alone will serve you so incredibly well. Because look, spoiler, ideas are worthless. They are. Ideas are worthless. Execution is everything. You have to be able to create something. That's what's so great when you see projects like this that force us to get exercise in the muscle of doing. That is what is going to happen. All right? Be one of the doers in the center. Be the person who not just have an idea, but actually do it. Because this is an opportunity that a few generations got. I was lucky enough, as you heard, I was in the first round of Y Combinator. So that's a seed stage accelerator. They give small amounts of money to early stage companies, basically spend 3 months doing nothing but writing code and getting users and playing World of Warcraft. And we both hit 60, which was the lucky cap. But this was an opportunity we got basically by chance. We were on our senior year spring break when we went out to Boston. We didn't go to the beach, we went to Boston because we were nerds. And we heard a guy named Paul Graham give a talk called How Stars Start. And just a month or two after we heard this talk, he announced this program called Y Combinator. Companies like Dropbox, Airbnb, Reddit have all come out of the same program. Multi-billion-dollar companies like Dropbox, Airbnb started the same way. A couple of founders and laptops. Dropbox, you guys know Dropbox, that was started in a bus station. Newhouse left his thumb drive at home while working on another project. And he was so frustrated. He was like, why don't these files just sync? And he started working on a Chinatown bus heading from Boston to New York on what would become now its value of $10 billion. And that was 7 years ago. This is the power of software. That is the power of software. There's no reason to say one of you can't do that. All right, now, that's me and Steve. Eric, take my word for it. This is us on the first day of Y Combinator. Okay? We initially had this idea. We were so excited. You see, we initially had this idea. We were going to let people order food from their cell phones. And we spent a year working on this. By the time we were juniors, I knew, you know what? I didn't want to be a lawyer. I was a history major, right? So I thought that's the obvious thing to do, be a lawyer. Then I went to a Waffle House, and it changed my life. I highly recommend Waffle House for the waffles and the epiphanies. And it's actually kind of sad. I spent some time in the Pacific Northwest, and they don't have Waffle Houses there. So evidently they don't have epiphanies. It's really sad to have to explain them. Because I was really hungry one morning, and I walked out of an LSAT prep course, and I walked into this Waffle House with my buddy Jack, and we were like, you know what, if you want waffles more than we want to be lawyers, we probably shouldn't be lawyers. And so I started talking to Steve, and we thought, we're going to change the game for how people order food. We're going to let them do it from their cell phones. They don't have to wait in line. They don't have to wait in line at McDonald's. You place the order, they're a few blocks away, and it's there waiting for you, or Starbucks, or whatever. We were going to call it My Mobile Menu, or But we were going to make this thing, and we were going to change the world with it. We were juniors. We worked on this for a year, and we had just heard Paul Graham give his talk, and then we heard about Y Combinator, so we applied, and they invited us for an interview. So we went out to Boston. Oh man, we gave the interview of our lives. We just absolutely killed it. We did an amazing job. They were eating out of our hands. We went out that night to celebrate Boston, eating, drinking, and then they called us and gave us the good news. We had gotten rejected. It was good that we were already drinking too, because then we could just go from happy drinking to sad drinking. And that really sucked. It didn't help that night, as we were out, because we were in Cambridge, technically, so we were near Harvard, and there were a couple of Harvard seniors who were out drinking. They were celebrating, though, because they had just gotten great jobs at Lehman Brothers. I don't know how that worked out for them, but they were being a little unpleasant. And I got so fed up. It was some part insecurity and some part drunkenness that I was like, oh, well, my buddy and I are starting a company called And And we just got in to Y Combinator. You probably haven't heard of it, but it's really cool. And I felt like, oh, I felt like such a tool for lying to this guy. As soon as it came out of my mouth. And because this was my first time. This was the first time I'd ever really had something that I wanted so badly that I did not get. And it sucked. And so I drank more. And also, I'm not advocating alcohol as a solution. It's not a solution. Technically, it is a solution. But you know what I meant. Yes, fellow science nerds. Yes. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Next morning, on a long train back to Virginia, we got a call. And it was Y Combinator. And they said, listen, we don't like your idea. Well, you told us that last time, we rejected this. But we like you guys. And if you and Steve are willing to forget, come up with some other thing, we'll let you in. So after a year of working on this company, we got off at the next train stop, went right back to Boston, and said, deal, we'll take it. Work on anything else. It's just not that mindable menu thing. We'll work on something in a browser that solves our problem and rewarding. And what that was Reddit. Now, this was us the first day of Y Combinator, and I want to, you have to bear with me here. That's me on the left. You'll notice I'm already wearing a shirt with our mascot on it, even though we haven't built anything yet. Now that, I do not recommend. I just really like mascots. One of the other things, you may not be able to tell from this photo, but if I enhance it, you can actually see what we were thinking. That's right. I had no idea what I was doing. No clue. But here's the thing. No one does. I still don't know what I'm doing most of the time. Here's a life story. No one has it all figured out. Life, there's no point when they give you a book and they're like, here's the way it works. There's no, life is not a paint by number, all right? No one has it all figured out. Anyone who claims, anyone who fronts, like they got it all figured out is either lying or delusional, okay? We are all perpetually in a state of happiness. And I can assure you, every one of those things you love, everything you love, whether it's a film, whether it is a shoe, whether it is a website, when those people got started working on it, I can assure you, what was going through their heads was 99% of, I don't know what I'm doing, because that's what it takes to do anything new. And so don't let I don't know what I'm doing stop you. Let that motivate you to figure it out. Okay? No one has it all figured. This is a perpetual process, but don't let that feeling stop you, right? Because everyone feels it. And look, the first version of Stop Duties Today is good and janky. That's Reddit. This is the first version of Reddit we launched maybe a month after that photo was taken. That's it. I know, Reddit's not going to beauty contest today, but it certainly wasn't when we launched. And that's it. That's the first version of the site. All right? It's janky. And you'll notice over here, I have -1 karma. Yeah, that's because Steve is a dick. He downvoted the first ever submission to Reddit by his best friend. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. That's the worst version of it. Alright, it's janky. I don't you think. And look, today obviously it has grown tremendously, but this is how it got started. Okay, here's another life spoiler for you. The first version of everything is janky. Many of you were kind of sheepishly apologizing for like the sort of jankiness of the prototypes that I saw. That's okay. That's why it's beta. If it solves a problem, that is what matters, okay? There's no grades in life, right? It's basically pass fail, okay? So as long as you're always aiming for pass, I can't speak to GPAs, but as long as you're aiming for pass, you're solving a real problem for real users. I mean, put it in perspective. This is the first version of Facebook. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Remember the awkward, like, Mark Zuckerberg-ish looking guy haunting the upper left corner of the screen. Like, okay, all right, you ready for this? Okay, hold on. Twitter. Seriously? This is the first version of Twitter. If that's not defined janky, I don't know what does. And just showing this image probably tanks their share price another 10%. Okay? Janky is okay though, right? Even the first Iron Man was janky. Remember that? Mark 1, right? But it solved a problem. Solve a problem. It's good enough for Tony Stark, which should be good enough for the rest of us. And look, this is where Reddit's at today, and it's crazy. It's crazy. This is what started as one front page has become hundreds of thousands. Right? There's even an amazing subreddit called R. Murray. There's a few of them here. Give a shout. You guys should also subscribe to R. Murray. There's a subreddit for every community, every college, every town, every interest. There are like a dozen just related to My Little Pony and My Little Pony offshoots, which is amazing. This was something we started with two guys in the park with the only ambition being, let's make something 10 people want or 100 people want. Don't get wide-eyed with where you might be 9 years from now. Start with solving the problem for 10 people and then solve it for 100 people. Don't get caught with what might be. Solve the real problem for 10 people today. That's how you start your business. And look, there's going to be competition. This was our chief competitor, a site called Dig. Now this site, okay, it came out about 6 months before Reddit. They clearly knew how to use CSS, unlike us. They also had some things going for them. You see, they have celebrity founder. This is Kevin Rose. He announced the website on his TV show. He mentioned this his website. He announced it on his TV show. The celebrity founder announced it on TV. They were in Silicon Valley. Woo! Right? Land of like unicorns and timesheets. Maxwell Silicon Valley. We were just a couple Virginia graduates with 12 grand in a bank living in a suburb of a suburb of a suburb in Boston. And we were like, oh man. Oh, this is not gonna be good. When I learned about them, and everyone's asking, how did you not know what to think? I swear, we launched not knowing about them because I have the email that I sent to the team with Steve as soon as I learned about them. This is like a week after we launched. You can tell this series is the all caps. Subject line, Steve.com, meet the enemy. Okay, I was spurred. Very clear. Not scared. I'm talking next level spurred when I saw this. Because imagine, I just graduated from college, right? Two of us don't know what we're doing. We're in the middle of nowhere. We're looking at this thing. They seem like they are doing everything right. They are the prototypical Silicon Valley startup. And I was spurred. But we had amazing advisors. We had people around us like Jesse Livingston who simply said, no. Don't care about your competition. And Grumpy Cat is an amazing role model for this. Really, really think about it. Every morning, Grumpy Cat has to be better than every cat on the internet. Right? Grumpy has more competition every day than we will have our entire lives. And do you think Grumpy cares about the competition? No! Grumpy ran out of dance to give many years ago. Grumpy ain't got no time for that. And this is a fact, all right? So look, like, whatever it is you're doing, there's going to be competition. But if you're doing anything interesting, either there are people or there will be people who are trying to do it too, but don't care. They will not be you. You will just be yourself. The people you should care about, people like Andrew. Now, who is Andrew? So this is in 05. This is before social media. The only way people basically express their personal viewpoints was through blogs. And this happened in the blog of a random guy on the internet. Probably 10 people read this blog all year. But two of them were me and Steve. You see us commenting down there. See, Andrew is a very special blogger. It's not that he's popular. He's probably had like 10 people reading him. He was the first person to ever write about Reddit. The first person ever. This guy, to me, is like a hero. Because he was the first person outside of like our parents to care about what we made enough to write a blog post about it. Today you'll find tweets, you'll find Facebook posts, you'll find all kinds of people talking about what we launched, what we put out in the world, embracing it, engage them, thank them for taking the time to try out this brand new thing no one has heard of and no one cares about, aside from your parents. These are awesome. Look, Steve is actually giving him tech support further on in the comments. Like, this is the CTO, right? And so for this guy, Andrew's probably Floyd. He's like, yeah, co-founder of this website, it's on my comments. He doesn't know there are two dudes in an apartment who are just like, wow, someone finally cares about us, right? But the bar has been set so low because most companies just don't care. They don't care. Like, Tony Hsieh wrote an entire book called Delivering Happiness about Zappos. The thesis of the book is treat customers well. And that became a bestseller. And CEOs all over the world were like, Johnson, that's it. We just have to treat customers well. This whole time, we've been treating them like garbage. Ah, brilliant, right? Well, that idea is revolutionary. That kind of tells you where the state of things are. That's an opportunity for all of you. So, this dude, I gave you an idea of how much this means to me. This dude, Andrew, this blog post is long gone. I didn't take this screenshot 9 years ago. No, I took it a few months ago. because I found his blog on the Wayback Machine. Because I remembered enough about it that I could find it 9 years later. That's how much this dude meant to me. I don't know who he is, he's just some random guy with a blog. But he means the world to me. These are the people you care about, the ones, those first users, the first ones who give a damn. Don't forget waffles. We spoke about waffles a little earlier. Definitely spoke about those earlier. For good reason, they're delicious, wonderful, produce epiphanies. The other reason I have this up here is because it reminds me of a very, very important moment in Reddit's history. So there we were, five months in. Site's going well, it's growing week over week. We're on to something, okay? And we get an invitation from an executive at Google who says, hey, come on out to Silicon Valley. We're really kind of starstruck, right? Google wants to come to Silicon Valley. Why, yes, of course. And then we got another email from a dude at Yahoo. You guys know Yahoo, right? But we said, come on out to Yahoo. Come on, we're going to take it. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. So we made a mix CD. We were that excited. None of you know what a mix CD is. That's tragic. We made a mix CD. We get on this plane, we go out to California, and we're in the valley. Oh man, it's kind of boring looking, but okay, fine, we're here, flowing with energy. We go to the Google meeting, and it's great. There's candy everywhere, we're so happy, everything goes really, really well. Then we go to the Yahoo meeting, because we're like, all right, let's go two for two. Candy everywhere, not as much, but a lot of candy. Executives, very, very warm, and they brought the whole team in. Bring us in this meeting room. And the exec's like, well, tell us about Reddit. Okay, sure. So I started telling him, and he just cuts me off. He's like, hold on. That's what it sounds like. Hold on. How much traffic do you guys have anyway? He's like, well, we just launched it. You know, launched it a few months ago. It's growing week over week. Probably 10 or 12,000 users. And he sits back in his chair and he's just like, You guys are a rounding error compared to Yahoo. What are you even doing here? You invited us. Is that like a thing you do at Yahoo, or you just invite startups and then make fun of them? You still get some candy on the way out? Like, this meeting needs to say went terribly, okay? And by 30 minutes in, where it was clear they didn't lunch there, so we left. And we're thinking, they brought us out here to make fun of us. Like, we get on that plane, we get back to Boston. The first thing I do when I get back to the apartment is I put something on my wall next to my desk. It's a few words. It says, "You are a rounding error." I put it on my wall because every morning I wanted to look at this dude's words and know exactly who Steve and I were doing wrong. This kind of became my wall of negative reinforcement. I think I probably heard about it from some football coach decades ago. We started doing it now, so you know, I'm going to do this for all the haters. And so this is some advice I give to you. Listen, there are going to be constructive critics in your life who are amazing, right? They're the ones who keep it real. They're the ones who give you the advice you need to hear. They're the ones who make you better. And then there are going to be haters, right? Haters are going to hate. Scientifically proven, right? That's all right. Be the honey badger, right? I'm glad you don't give a shit. No. Use it as motivation. Use it as fuel. Do not let that hold you back. Let it fuel you. Eat it for breakfast like waffles. Or whatever you want for breakfast. Look, this is a reality, right? Do not let the haters hold you back. Find something you're passionate about. Find something you want to create in the world. Take the constructive criticism for the haters. Because look, there are going to be setbacks. But there are going to be opportunities, right? You can have the opportunity right now to start storefronts. That'll let you be a merchandiser to the world. This is the woman I met in Atlanta. Her name is Maya. She's had the storefront for about 6 years online, and she wanted to make eco-friendly apparel. She's been selling this out of her home for, I think, the last 6 or 7 years. She was doing so well, she started a nonprofit with profits, and when she was doing so well off that, she got invited to speak at TED. Right? And here's someone who I found online. Oh, I forgot to mention. She's 14. And what's awesome is, like, this is the hope of the open internet, right? It means that a 14-year-old, or actually an 8-year-old, can get started with an idea and start selling stuff that people want. If they want it, she can create a great business and have a great nonprofit and then be speaking all over the world. Like, why not? This is the opportunity of the freest market the world has ever seen, the internet. And it's letting Maya be awesome. And I got to meet her, and she is every bit as awesome as I imagined. And then you start going, listen, it's not just about starting the next Reddit and the next GitHub and the next Twitter and the next Facebook. It's about creating where necessarily markets wouldn't collect to possible. Now, this is a photo that went viral. This is a gentleman holding up a gold record over his face. You see, he's a member of the Chambers Brothers. His name is Lester Chambers. The TLDR for this was he was a member of a very successful group through the 60s and the 70s, but because of bad record deals, he didn't get paid. Not that he squandered his money, he just never got paid. And so he was penniless. When he was so frustrated after years of this, he just took a photo, put it online, and it went viral. Right? It was everywhere. It was Facebook, Twitter, at the top of our music. Everyone said, Lester, you're a member of the Chambers Brothers, and you made some amazing music. How can we help you? And he said, well, we're trying this new site called Kickstarter. Raised $60,000 for an album. This was the first album in this man's life. He was 72 years old. First album of his life that he actually owned, where he had total control, where he had a direct relationship with his fans, and not with some parasitic middleman. And so if you hear Lester talk about the internet today, he sounds like a startup founder, because he knows what the power of the internet has done to let him be an artist, not just start a startup, be an artist, to create the art he wants to make. And Kickstarter is just one example. Kickstarter didn't exist 4 years ago, and last month, over $1 billion transferred between individuals like us with credit cards to individuals with great ideas. Thanks to this platform. These are creative, these are artists, these are people making stuff that improves all of our lives. It doesn't necessarily involve widgets or a thing or a website, it just needs art. There's a marketplace, there's a $1 billion marketplace for art that we didn't even know existed 4 years ago. And it's not an endpoint, it's just the beginning. It's just the start, and it doesn't end there. This is Joplin, Missouri, after a tornado destroyed it a few years back, right? Because the internet connects us. It levels that playing field for everything, including philanthropy. And what it does is it lets us feel a connection. Feel a connection for every dollar we give. You don't have to be a millionaire to have your donation feel like it makes a difference anymore. Because software lowers that friction. Right? This is a woman named Debbie Guardino. She's a full-time school teacher. It already makes her a hero. She lives in Virginia. And she was thinking, you know what? I'm going to do something about this. She saw the headlines about Joplin, and she said, you know what, like, there must be something I can do. She doesn't have a network. She's a full-time teacher. Like, she doesn't have a lot of time. But she went online to a website she knew well called DonorsChoose.org. She said, DonorsChoose lets any public school teacher create a classroom project specifying what they need. Oh, I need $400 for a bunch of Legos or $1,000 for a laptop, or whatever supplies they need. And if enough people all over the country want to back it, they can give $1, they can give $120, whatever, as little as $1. They know it's going, every penny of it is going to that project. And so she said, you know what? I've got a good fundraiser for this community in Joplin, Missouri. She didn't know anyone in Joplin. She didn't know anyone. She saw they didn't have any projects up. So she thought, let me fundraise and let me go to Joplin. And let me teach these teachers how to help themselves. Let me teach them to fish using this platform. And so she got started. Remember, this is a woman who doesn't have a TV show, she doesn't have them. She doesn't have a million Twitter followers. She's just a really determined, amazing human being. And so in a matter of months, that one woman raised over $500,000 for the town of Joplin, Missouri. And she flew to Joplin. She started tearing those teachers. And she started creating the environment. She came with like 4 tractor trailers full of supplies. And she did that with tweets. She did that with emails. She did it with Facebook posts to companies, to individuals. She hustled. And this was someone who would have been just as awesome 10 years ago. But she never would have had a way to make those kinds of connections, let alone raise $500,000. But she did, thanks to the internet. And so it's a matter of trying, okay? And a lot of times you're gonna fail. This poor baby will never get that spoon. I just want to be clear. I know, all day. She's never, no, it's not a poor baby. Okay, the internet lets us experiment. It lets us try, it lets us create, it lets us share, and it helps us get over the fact failure is actually an option. Okay? Sucking is the first step to being sort of good at something. Hopefully some of you know what that means. Yes. It's true. It's true, though. Everyone sucks when they try something new. Everyone. That's okay. Like I said, there's no grade on this. You're not sucking. Whatever you're starting at, that's okay. Because that's how we get better. And I have a great story about this. It's not even about an entrepreneur or a philanthropist. It's about a dude who failed at the University of Georgia. Didn't know what he was doing in his life. And he tried working jobs. He was a bond trader for a minute. He worked at Applebee's for another minute. He was all over the place trying to find a job that that worked for him, and he failed at all of them. And his friends and family were like, dude, figure it out. What are you doing with your life? And he was like, I don't know. Apparently I suck at everything I try, but I've got an idea. I want to take pictures. And they were like, dude, one, you don't have a camera, and two, you are terrible at photography. You're one of the worst. You didn't have a finger in the lens, all that. Like, you're a terrible photographer. I'm saying this is a friend of mine. He was like, I know, but I'm going to get a camera. I'm going to move to New York, and I'm going to try to make a career out of it. I'm like, good luck. This is the worst in my life. But good luck. And I sent him on his way. And he went up to New York. He started a blog. He got a camera. And he was terrible at photography. His friends were right. He was bad. And he started working on it. But he started obsessing over it. He really started investing time. He looked for inspiration online and off from other photographers and other work. He kept working at it day after day, week after week, month after month. And 3 years later, that total failure, he became Humans of New York. So Brandon Stanton right now is probably one of the most viewed photographers in the world. Literally millions of people see his photos every day. He has a number one New York Times bestseller, like, I think at this point, probably 50 weeks running. He's made an amazing career for himself in 3 years as a photographer. And he shoots portraits of New Yorkers all over. He interviews them for a minute and puts it on his Facebook wall. He's hacked an entire career for himself doing what he loved. And I don't know how this would have been possible. Just like Debbie, just like Maya, just like Lester, I don't know how this would have been possible without the open internet. And this is the world we get to inherit, guys. Yay, happy, like this cat, right? It's full of opportunity. One that you should not squander, because right now you have more creative freedom than you'll ever have in your lives. Right? Because most of the things, room, board, all that stuff, real estate, there, so take advantage of your passions. Double down on the stuff that gets you excited. Go learn. Go take advantage of this platform, right? Get the internet. I'm excited about it. It's still a great thing. Now, there's still going to be gatekeepers, right? They're still there. Remember. But every person who gets access, and every person who gets the skills to make the most out of that access, is one more barrier that falls. It's one more gatekeeper that's weakened, and one more person that gets the power to be awesome. And whether they are entrepreneurs in the traditional sense or not, they can change the world. Now, speaking of which, I don't speak French, but as far as I'm concerned, and I'll read this for you, entrepreneur is just French for has ideas and does them. That's it. Let's get it off the pedestal. All right? It's not like there are special people over here, entrepreneurs, and there's everyone else. We are all capable of being entrepreneurial, whether we want to be the next Mark Zuckerberg, whether we want to be the next insert name, filmmaker, musician, whatever it is. The internet enables entrepreneurship because you don't need permission to get started. So think of yourself that way and start creating stuff and learning stuff. And I've taken this message. You can see this in the map of the United States, covered in copies of my book, which are not to scale, by the way. That would be terrifying. I've taken this over 200, I've been to 200 events, 70, this will be 78 universities, because this is what I wish I had heard when I was in school. Certainly when I was in high school, but at the very least when I was in college, because I wouldn't have wasted so much time. Okay? And the opportunities, the shoulders of the giants that we got to stand on were pretty great. The shoulders of the giants that you all stand on are even greater. So look, that doesn't mean stop taking selfies. You can still do that. Still take selfies. But think about that thing, that passion. Maybe you think your passion is selfies, in which case you don't read up on your passion. But still, think of that thing that drives you and focus on it. And let me know, okay? Email me, join Alexis, okay? I'm trying to build a movement here of people who are taking full advantage of the greatest entrepreneurial resource the world has ever seen, the internet. So take advantage of it. Hit me up on Twitter or on Instagram or whatever. Show off the stuff you are making so that I can retweet it and show it to a bunch of other people so that when I'm talking to a politician or a journalist, I can say, look at what this generation is doing. This is not hypothetical. This is real, and it happens all over the country. Innovation is not limited to Silicon Valley. It's not limited to just a zip code. It is anywhere you have talented people and that internet connection. That's where it is. And so I have one more note that I will leave you on, and it is something from when video games used to be hard. Yeah, it used to be. Not anymore. Sorry. You see, you have a finite number of lives in video games. You need three or whatever you get more. The point is, when you ran out of lives, the game ended. That sucked. Oftentimes you had to start all over again. But the fact is, it's a lot like life. I realized this as a kid, right? Notwithstanding the resurrection of the incarnation, of course. We're all limited. Zero lives remain. There's no life after this. The And so my advice to you is take full advantage of this. Please, please, because we need it. This nation needs it. This world needs it. Take full advantage of these opportunities, all the stuff that I've talked about, because you all will be able to accomplish so much more in the next 9 years than I have been able to. Right? That's the nature of innovation. I want you all to do that. Whether you want to start with an IPO in 9 years, please do. Or you're going to win a Nobel Prize, please do. Just please let me know when you do. Okay? Just tweet at me or something when you do it, because I'm going to take all of the credit for it.